vision, purpose, and spirit. Vision, purpose, spirit. What do we mean by vision? Sometimes it's easiest to define things in the negative, by their absence or by their opposite. And I think this is very striking if you start thinking about vision in terms of its absence. There's that wonderful line in the Old Testament, you know, where there is no vision, the people perish. And they may not actually physically perish, but I think when people don't have any vision of what is possible or where they're going, it's likely that they get very bogged down in the everyday, in the melodrama of the moment. Things can often assume a disproportionate importance and significance, which, when seen in a larger context, which is part of what vision gives you, they wouldn't really have. You know, have you ever had that experience where you were very kind of wrapped up in something, and then something else happens and it's, maybe it's not such a big deal after all. One of the striking things for me about vision is that if you have one, it invariably starts to take you in a particular direction. It orientates you. It orientates you in terms of the actions you may engage in. It may well give you a sense of purpose. It also probably orientates you in terms of where you don't want to go, what's irrelevant. So prioritizing can happen as well. One of the best ways to not have a vision is to be absolutely consumed with problem solving. As long as you're trying to solve problems, your time is taken up, isn't it? Your attention is preoccupied. It's not that don't let's ever solve a problem. It's extremely useful to be able to do so. However, if it becomes a mindset which is pretty much there most of the time for you, it may actually work against you in terms of enabling you to have a vision at all. Because to have a vision is to be able to see beyond the immediacies of this moment. Do you? Have you? Have you ever? One of the interesting things for me is how many people have the experience of at times having a vision and then they sort of lose sight of it, lose track of it. It gets submerged in other things. So how would you know if you had a vision? Well, you might say, I could see things more clearly, okay. But that's not the only way. For some people it won't be, you know, yes, I had these fantastic images of the future that are extraordinarily compelling. It may be something quite different. It may be that they have a sense of moving in the right direction. Warmer. Hopefully we were prepared as kids. Those party games, they have some lessons in them. But there may be other pointers as well, and I wanted to just flag up some of the ones that I've been aware of, either in my own experience or working with people. And to that end, I want to actually ask you to be thinking about something, which is this. What gives you a buzz? What gives you a buzz? Because it would be remarkable if you had a vision that was in some way significant in terms of how you organized your life and it didn't give you a buzz. Yes, I have this captivating vision of a future that I don't seem to ever really feel ineluctably drawn towards. You know, this is a nonsense. So what gives you a buzz? Now, I've sometimes, when working with people on coaching, you know, I'll ask them this kind of question, and I get an interesting list of things. All kinds of things give people a buzz. And very frequently, they will be slightly disparaging about them initially. It's like, well, I know this is silly, but you know, I've always been a bit of a pigeon fancier, or whatever it is. And they see it as having no relevance at all to work. Maybe. It certainly has relevance to them. So what gives you a buzz? And one of the things I've done, and I'm going to run it with you as well, is I've asked people to actually make a list, this is a very technical term, of past buzzes. What has done it for you at different times? What are the buzzes in your life now, and what have they been? Because if you know what those are, one of the things you can do is begin to think of them as, you know, beads on a string. You string those together, you'll almost certainly find there are some themes. What are the themes? What are the things that have engaged you, that have turned you on? Because one of the ways you'll know is that they invariably energize you. You get to feel more alive. These are the things where time can pass and you don't even notice that some time has passed. You're so engaged in the activity. Now, you presumably can recall some of these. Might there be others? It's unlikely, I think, that you've exhausted all the possibilities, given the sheer variety of experience available in the world. So how might you find some of those others? You would probably need to experiment. Do you? See, if we don't try on new things, if we don't engage with new experiences, what do? We basically keep ourselves where we are. I'll have more of the same, please, only larger. It's that sort of mentality. If you're going to experiment, you're probably going to find some new possibilities. What's that got to do with vision? Until you know what turns you on, it's very hard to engage with possible futures of your own creation. If you want to create a compelling future, clearly, it needs to compel you. If you're creating compelling futures for others and they really don't matter a damn to you, I don't think you're going to feel very satisfied. It's not a very fulfilling way to live. It's actually what happens sometimes for people in positions where they're leading others and they end up not believing what they're saying. Very demoralizing. And they can keep it up for quite a while. And the longer they keep it up, the more demoralized they get. Because they start having this experience of the mask, and then who's the real me? And at the extreme, you get people saying things like, you know, I'm amazed that they still want to employ me. I remember one guy saying every Monday he came, and it was still a surprise to him that his name plaque was on the door. Not because he wasn't doing a good job, but because in some way he felt a fraud. That's not what happens if you're living your vision. So let me ask you to consider this for a moment. What does give you a buzz? Consider three things that give you a buzz. And one of them should be not from now, but from some other time in your life. You can say anything at all. What gives you a buzz? And if you find yourself rendered dumb, it last happened about 10 years ago. But I was nearly asleep at the time. I can't remember much about it. This is definitely for you. Yeah. Because it's time you had some of this. So, what gives you the buzz? Go ahead. Thank you. Now, notice what happens when you start talking about the things that give you a buzz. Hmm?
I got interested.
You got interested. You get interested in other people as well, don't you, when they start talking about what gives them a buzz. This is a critical principle for leadership. Once you actually are able to engage with your own dream, is that in any way compelling to others as well? Absolutely. And it's not necessarily the dream that's compelling. It's the act of engagement, because it's not that common. And it's something that human beings seem to value a lot. It goes into issues of being congruent, of a person living what they believe. These things we have very good antennae for, and we value people who do. And for yourself, you know, when you're talking about what gives you a buzz, does that energize you? Yeah. So, does that tell us what your vision might be? No. But it certainly gives us some clues. It gives us some clues about what matters to you, about the kind of things that cause you to come alive, that get you passionate, perhaps, even. And quite often, this can be a very good way of taking stock. Because in life, I think there are times, perhaps for most of us, but not just times for some people, long periods of life can be where you're just kind of trudging, you know? And if you're just trudging, there's not a lot of vision in that. And it can be kind of flat. You may be experiencing disappointment, a sense of drift. It doesn't have to be terrible at all. It's like, on the contrary, you know, I can keep it going, but what then? One of the things that can happen is what I call false diagnoses. You get people trying to solve the problem. Here we go again. Solve the problem. And I've actually heard people say things like, well, I seem to be, I don't know, a bit flat, really. I've had a number of disappointments. I thought this was going to happen and it didn't, and that did happen, but it wasn't what I thought it was going to be anyway. So, I don't know, it all seems a bit flat. Maybe I need a hobby. Maybe that's the way. Excuse me? Now, what's that got to do with anything? It's the kind of thing I think we may go to when we're assuming that, well, there must be something that I should be adding in here to the mix, because it's a bit flat. I need a different sort of activity, fair enough, but a hobby. Now, I've nothing against hobbies. Okay. Those of you who have hobbies, great. I support hobbies wholeheartedly. But I don't think they're any substitute for a sense of purpose or a vision of what matters to you. And I think sometimes people try and substitute them. And when they do, it's almost that they become a distraction from what would otherwise be more of a kind of gnawing concern. This is not enough. And then you have to do something about it. And well, what would you do about it? What could you do about it? That's going to take you into experimentation, isn't it? Finding out different things. But I think it also takes you into a movement within. You have to start checking in with yourself. It's one of the reasons, I think, why coaching has become so extraordinarily popular. Coaching essentially encourages a self-reflexive attitude. You engage with yourself on a regular periodic basis. That allows you to what? Check in. To honor yourself. Now, you can do that in lots of ways, but when you do it, people find it's a very rewarding activity. However, before they do it, they have all sorts of fantasies about what it would be like. Sometimes people imagine that it would be difficult, or they'd somehow be different from other people, and they'd be different from how they were before. That could be problematical, but actually, of course, it turns out to be a big relief, because the way they were before wasn't quite enough anyway. So coming back to yourself, that may be part of what's needed, to have that vision, because you're going to find it within. One of the things that I did many, many years ago when I was thinking about, you know, what hopefully epitomizes what I'm involved in doing, I found myself coming to a set of words that have stayed with me for a long time now, which are those, dare to dream. And I think there is something about daring to dream. If you're going to have a vision, you need to dare. If your vision is just more of the same, I'm not even sure that really is a vision. Because I think a vision calls you to go for more, to dream a bigger dream. And doing that can mean that you won't know how to accomplish what it is you dream. Arguably, in fact, that's one of the characteristics of daring to dream. It calls you to become a bigger person in order to make the dream real. So what might enable you to dare to dream? Well, one of the things that's very simple is allowing yourself the time to do it, frankly. One of the best ways not to have big dreams is to be too busy. If you're managing the minutiae of today, not to mention tomorrow, then that can be very time consuming, very energy consuming, and it can take up most of your attention. So how would you create the space, just the psychic space? What works for you? Let me ask you, what does work for you? Take a minute, just think about, when have you had that sense of a more spacious awareness? What does that for you? Even as we talk about this, the universe supplies us with the most marvelous metaphor. You notice that noise that's going on? Do you know what that is? Even as we're talking about daring to dream, one floor down in the kitchens, they're clearing a blockage. That's what it is. And of course it would be tonight. And they said, no, we've got to do it. How right they are. Sometimes you have to clear those blockages before you can dream. When have you had that kind of space that allows you to imagine more, to imagine differently? In what contexts can you create that in your life? How have you done that in the past? See, that's worth knowing, because that is a resource. And it could be some very curious things. I attended this seminar. Yes, okay. But it may also be, it's just having a glass of wine, looking out at the sunset, whatever. What is it for you? Take a minute. Just think about two different ways in which you can achieve that. That kind of space for yourself where you can imagine a bigger game. Go ahead. Thank you. The thing about vision is it gives you the what for, the why bother. You know, if you're just busy, oh yes, I'm doing this and I have 1,000 things to do and I'm on track and I'm doing this and then I'll be doing that and another day is completed and then I'll start tomorrow and I'll do this and I'll do that. Okay, and then you die. What was that all about? You know, it's the so what factor. Well, vision supplies the so what factor. It also supplies the vitality. We talk about people being vibrant, vibrantly healthy, vital. That's what vision gives you. And arguably, in some ways, if you're feeling kind of flat, unless you're in a situation where that's a natural consequence, e.g. bereavement, say, then maybe some vision is needed here that can allow you to come to more of what you're about, where you could be going, how you could be, who you really are. So vision, I think, is incredibly important for us as individuals. Obviously, it is equally important in an organizational setting. Some of the most interesting, I think, organizational leaders are people who don't simply obsess about the bottom line, but who see what they're doing as part of a bigger picture. And that's what gets them up in the morning. They no longer have to think about the bottom line, but they are very motivated because there's something more that matters. So vision. We could spend all of this time just focusing on this, but instead what I'd like to do is begin to relate it to purpose and purposefulness.